This is Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated March 28, 2024. We begin on the front page with the headline, Former Public Health Administrator Before Judge March 21 on Theft and Official Misconduct Charges. A former public health administrator was before a judge on March 21st after being charged by the Illinois Attorney General's Office on theft and official misconduct charges. Deanne Shippert, 57, of Watseka, was charged by Attorney General Kwame Raoul with allegedly submitting fraudulent timesheets to the Iroquois County Public Health Board, claiming to have worked hours she did not actually work, valued in excess of $100,000, reads a press release from Raoul's office. Shippert was arrested by Illinois State Police Special Investigations Unit March 20 in Champaign. Shippert is charged with two counts of theft of government property, which are Class X felonies punishable by up to 30 years in prison, six Class I felonies of theft of government property, which are punishable by up to 5 years in prison, and 17 Class III felony counts of official misconduct, which are punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Sentences are ultimately determined by the court and can run concurrently, reads the statement from Raoul. Judge William Dickinson presided over court proceedings March 21. Iroquois County Judges Michael Sable and Kara Bartucci have recused themselves from the case. According to Judici.com information, Shippert appeared at the Zoom video hearing March 21 in the custody of the Sheriff's Department. Public Defender Lance Cagle was also present, as was Assistant Attorney General Mara Somlong. It was noted that Shippert may hire private counsel instead of a public defender. Part of the March 21 proceedings indicated that she is not to leave the state of Illinois and refrain from going to areas of the Health Department and Iroquois County departments that are not open to the public. She is to report to pretrial services within 24 hours. She was read her appeal rights. She will next go before a judge at 9:30 a.m. April 4, when the next status hearing is set. That hearing is set to be in a Kankakee courtroom. In the press release, Raoul says that Shippert began her time as Iroquois County Public Health Department Administrator in 2015 and had worked at the Fort Iroquois Public Health Department for more than 20 years before that. According to the press release, while in the administrator role, Raoul's office alleges from May 2020 to July 2022, Shippert knowingly deceived the government by misrepresenting to Iroquois County's Board of Health how much work and what type of work she did. This included submitting multiple fraudulent timesheets claiming regular and overtime work hours she did not actually work. Raoul alleges that, as a result, Shippert was paid more than $100,000 she should not have received. Raoul's press release included, "Public officials who abuse their position for their own financial gain must be held accountable. I would like to thank the Illinois State Police for their assistance in investigating this case. My office will continue to collaborate with law enforcement agencies to investigate and hold accountable government employees who take advantage of the trust their communities have placed in them. No one is above the law, and when we learn of possible public corruption, the Illinois State Police Special Investigations Unit will be there to hold offenders accountable on behalf of the public." Item next, band reunites to raise money for Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Lanterns Road played to a packed house during their reunion performance Saturday night at Town and Country Events in Milford. The band, which hadn't officially played together since the Sheldon Fun Days in 2001, got back together for a special performance Saturday to raise funds for Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Band member Josh Heeran said they did get together one time after that to perform at his sister Danielle's graduation party. Aside from Heeran, the band is made up of Chris Drake, Olivia Drake, Adam Schuffler, and Darren Rutledge. Heeran said the band played pretty heavily between 1999 and 2001 within a 50 to 60 mile radius of the area. Heeran said the Iroquois Memorial Hospice had helped his father, Wendell, before he passed away last year. Hospice helped my dad. My dad passed away in August last year, and they were a huge help to him. It was actually through that process of seeing the old guys from the band again, from them coming around to rally around my family while losing my dad. My dad actually did sound for the band years ago. It was in that, it was like, it would be cool to get together and jam again. Heeran said the band decided they wanted to do something to raise money for hospice. He said the money raised would go to the Iroquois Memorial Hospital's Hospice Memorial Fund that helps people who don't have insurance or can't afford certain coverage. They don't turn anybody away, Heeran said. IMH Hospice was a great help to my family and my dad, and we wanted to give something back. Other members of the band have also been helped by hospice as well, so we kind of just wanted to give back. Saturday's fundraiser featured a 50-50 raffle and raffle baskets along with food and beverages for concertgoers. Mitch Haas, administrator of Iroquois Memorial Hospice, was amazed at the level of support shown by area residents who turned out on Saturday night. I'm just blown away by how much support we've had from everybody and all the businesses who donated. It's just a great thing that we have everybody supporting IMH. We'll be able to use the proceeds to benefit patients. Haas said the proceeds will go toward their memorial fund, which is used to cover patient expenses that are not normally covered by insurance. So it will cover anything for patient care that goes above and beyond what insurance might potentially cover. Haas cited items like humidifiers for oxygen tanks or specialized medications or chairs that patients might need but aren't covered by insurance. Haas expressed his appreciation to Lanterns Road and to the volunteers who made the event possible for their support of IMH. Their support has been to help all of this come together, and the people behind the scenes, they've done a lot of stuff to help put this whole thing together, he said. Haas spoke about the importance of patients having access to hospice care. He said, a lot of times people think that going on to hospice might mean that they're giving up. But in fact, a lot of studies have shown that hospice services are not started soon enough because they focus a lot on someone's quality of life. You have to be certified as having a terminal illness and a likelihood of passing away within 6 months. But we have patients that have been on for even a couple of years. We focus on the quality of the remaining life that someone has rather than trying to treat the disease itself. We're critical to the rural communities because we come to the patient's house year-round, even if you're 20 miles off Route 1 in the middle of winter. Without us being those patients would probably not have those services. So it is really important that we're here and we're able to serve this whole area. Haas said they are working with around 30 patients at the moment. He said they cover all of Iroquois County and all of Ford County, as well as a portion of Vermilion County covering Rossville and Hoopston, and all the way up to the very beginning of Kankakee County and the Indiana borderline and even some parts of Livingston County. We have a fairly large service area, Haas said. To learn more about Iroquois Memorial Hospice, visit https://iroquoismemorial.com/hospice-services-and-programs. That URL again, https://iroquoismemorial.com/ hospice services, and programs. Item next, public invited to University of Illinois wheelchair basketball fundraiser to support Options CIL. In what has become an annual area event, Options Center for Independent Living will host the 5th annual U of I wheelchair basketball game. This year, the event will be at Adventure Commons in Bradley on April 5. Doors open at 5 p.m. and the game starts at 6. All proceeds from the event go to support Option CIL in Iroquois and Kankakee counties. 4 teams will participate this year: a team from Kankakee Community College women's basketball team, a team from Riverside, a team from Ascension St. Mary's, and a team from the Kankakee County Sheriff's Department. Those teams will face the University of Illinois wheelchair basketball team in a quarter of basketball. The evening will also include a chance to bid on several raffle prizes, take part in a free throw contest where participants sit in a wheelchair and shoot baskets, take part in a 50-50, and purchase refreshments. Dan Brow, Option CFO and Outreach Advocate, said the evening is always a fun one, with the main focus highlighting the many services that Option provides for people in the area. Brow said those who take part in the free throw contest will get a better understanding of how much different it is and how spectacular the student athletes are. Brow said the money goes to our programs and services that aren't covered by grant funding. The grants are fantastic and keep our doors open, but they all have their own lane. To be able to veer from that lane, we have to raise additional funds or have United Way funds or private grants and foundations. The money from the basketball game will stay in Iroquois and Kankakee counties. The games will be complete with cheerleaders, he said, with the Boiler Elite Cheer Squad coming to cheer the teams on. The public is invited to attend, and Brow said the community support is always appreciated. Next, Watseka Community High School Drama Department to present Murder on the 518. The Watseka Community High School Drama Department will present the annual spring play April 5 and 6 at the Watseka Theater. This year's play is Murder on the 518 by Michelle Giles, said director Eric Parmenter. The public is invited to join an exciting and mysterious journey on the 518 from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles. An eccentric cast of characters boards the train for a variety of reasons, but unfortunately, not all of them will arrive at their destination. The question is, who did it? Could it have been the easygoing musician, the sports recruiter, the bickering chefs, or the noisy paparazzi, or any of a number of other crazy characters? Shows will be presented at 7 p.m. both Friday, April 5 and Saturday, April 6 at the Watseka Theater. Tickets are only available at the door. Cash or checks made payable to WCHS Drama will be accepted. Next up, another of a series of feature stories about Iroquois County women contributing to success of the area. March is Women's History Month, and this week they're featuring Dawn Brault, who helps out in a variety of ways in the Martinton-Donovan area. Dawn Brault is proud of her community and serves the Martinton-Donovan area in a number of ways. A 1984 graduate of Donovan High School, she married her high school sweetheart in 1985. They stayed in the community and have contributed to it and the surrounding area in a number of ways. Brault has worked at the town council level for a number of years, serving as the first elected woman of the council and now as town clerk. She's worked as a teacher's aide for Iroquois County Special Education at Donovan Elementary School for 26 years. She is in her 33rd year with the Martinton Fire Department, where she has been a firefighter, an EMT since 1994, and coordinator of the ambulance service since 2003. All of those entities care about their communities and are like a family, she said. The fire department has dedicated firefighters who are well-trained and go on calls at any time of day or night. Sometimes it is difficult to be at a scene where someone they know is involved, but they do the job they are trained to do. She said the school district has had to change over the years, many times because of state requirements and changes. The district has morphed through the years to continue to serve its students. The Donovan school system, she said, is not a bunch of teachers. It's like a family, and everyone takes care of everyone. If there's somebody who loves kids, it's that school. Brault has always worked with special needs students at the elementary school. The Martinton community is small, and losing industry in the county through the years has taken a toll on the small towns. But, she said, we could go to Chicago, we could go to Kankakee, but do I have to worry about my granddaughters walking the streets of Martinton? Absolutely not. I know the eyes are out there and they are safe. We are still one big family that looks out for each other. You don't have that in the big communities. And while some larger industries may have pulled out of the county in past years, there are small businesses that are working to enhance the community. There's always room for growth in our small communities, she said. Martinton has a day in the park each year. It started with one community member who had some extra sweet corn. He said, if I give you this sweet corn, could you do something with it? She said they thought about it and decided a chicken dinner in the park. And that was the start of the day in the park, she said. It was to get people to come enjoy, just sit down and go back to the old-fashioned picnic. Since then, it's been enhanced a little bit, so it's like a fun days. The firemen and EMS put a lot of work into it. She said this is one of the days that shows the community atmosphere in Martinton. I take care of the food stand, and if it wasn't them saying, hey, let me work a shift for you, that day could not happen. And it truly is a blessing to walk through that park and look at people without phones in their hands, unless they're taking pictures, and just visiting like it used to be 15, 20 years ago, when people were not on their cellular phones. Just to hear the kids playing and having a good time, the way it used to be. Brault has words of encouragement for people who are on the fence about getting involved. I usually go with my fire and my EMS. If you are ever thinking that you want to do something to help your community, we have an auxiliary. So the men and women who don't want to be on the front line and fight that fire or take that ambulance call, we're always looking for men and women to help with the auxiliary, which is coming out and providing the food, helping get clothing together for people who have lost everything. If you ever think you want to do something for your community, volunteer to your local fire and EMS, because the time that you have devoted will never be wasted compared to the gratification you'll receive in the long run. Brault said she has always enjoyed helping and giving back. I love to be around people. I worked in a factory for a few years, and I hated every minute of it. Yes, you build relationships there, but I enjoy every day getting up and going to school and being with the kids. I absolutely love the kids, and I love my community. I really do. Brault and husband Butch have been married almost 39 years. They have 2 children and 2 granddaughters. Son Nick is a lieutenant on the Watseka Fire Department and also EMS for Iroquois Memorial and Watseka Fire. He holds the same rank as his father, she said. Butch has been on the Martinton Fire Department for about 40 years. Daughter Melissa Kleeken is a special education aide at Donovan Junior Senior High School. She also is the junior high cheerleading coach and junior high track coach. Daughter-in-law Brittany is a babysitter, and son-in-law Mike also works at Donovan. Nick and Brittany have a daughter Zoe, and Melissa and Mike have a daughter Anna. If there's one thing we've taught them, it's to be involved. When you are in a community and you are friends, and you keep it that way, The day you might need some assistance is the day that your neighbors are there for you, like you need to be there for your neighbor. Item next, the Watseka Area Chamber of Commerce hosted a ribbon cutting at Runnings in Watseka on March 7th for its grand opening. Runnings has been in the home, farm, and outdoor business for more than 75 years. Owned by the Dennis and Adele Reed family and led by President Brian Odengard, the company has seen tremendous growth recently, according to information provided. The store is located at 1200 East Walnut Street in Watseka and can be reached at 815-515-6888. Again, 815-515-6888. The store is open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Item next, Crescent City's annual Easter egg hunt will take place this Saturday, March 30, at Heritage Park. This is a free event made possible by support of the village and several local businesses and individuals. Photos with the Easter Bunny can be taken from 9 to about 9:45 a.m., with the egg hunt starting at 10 a.m. sharp. The egg hunt doesn't last very long, so if you're a couple of minutes late, you will have missed it. There are five age groups: under 2, 2 to 3 years old, 3 to 4 years old, 4 to 5 years old, 6 to 7 years old, and 8 to 10 years old. Ages are as of the day of the hunt. Each group will have a grand prize along with several additional prizes. There will be a guessing game, how many pieces of candy are in a container, and a couple of open drawings. Next, here are the Watseka Area Food Pantry suggestions for April donations. Cereal, granola bars, pancake mix, and syrup. Of course, other donations are accepted as well. The suggestions are just to make donating easier for those who aren't sure what to give. Donations need to be in their original packaging and not exceed the use-by date. Other items the pantry needs throughout the year are laundry products, cleaning supplies, baking ingredients, canned foods, meats, fruit, vegetables, soups, boxed side dishes, and personal hygiene items. If you would rather donate items specifically needed, call the pantry at 815-432-0122 between 9 and 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Again, that phone number for the Watseka Food Pantry, 815-432-0122. Call between 9 and 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. This is also the number to call if you need items from the pantry. Call the number on the day you want to pick up your items. We ask callers to be patient, as there is no answering service, and sometimes volunteers are limited or busy. Items can be put together and set outside for curbside pickup. Households must be in Iroquois County, meet federal income guidelines, and can receive assistance from the pantry every 6 weeks if needed. The pantry is located at 301 South 4th Street in the Fellowship Hall of Watseka First United Methodist Church. The entry is under the canopy on the south side of the church. And now a quick look at some local library activities. The Clifton Public Library News is launching a new club, the Work Basket Club, for people who enjoy crocheting, knitting, or other types of needleworks. They will meet on the first and third Wednesdays of the month for about 2 hours each gathering. Please bring your own supplies, including a small table if you have one. It begins April 3 from 3 to 5 p.m. An educator from the Midewin National Tall Grass Prairie is coming to the Clifton Public Library. 30 to 45 minute class, perfect for pre-K through fifth graders. The bison is our national animal. Learn what name to call these wild, strong, woolly creatures. Bison or buffalo? See and touch a real bison pelt, skull, and horn cap. Hear them bellow. The program will take place 4 p.m., April 5. The Clifton Public Library is also giving away free solar eclipse glasses while supplies last. The eclipse maximum for our area is about 2:06 p.m. and ends around 3:21 p.m. April 8. You are cautioned to never look directly at the sun without glasses. The Clifton Library will host a session on the real costs of home ownership, a free live webinar put on by the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Northern Illinois. The one-hour webinar, educator Jose Fernandez will discuss and accurately assess the real costs and budget impact of home ownership. The webinar will be from 10 to 11:30 a.m. on May 11. Another free webinar at the library will look at savings and investing basics. The Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Northern Illinois will be there for the webinar from 5 to 6 p.m. on May 22nd. And finally, the Clifton Public Library is offering free printing or copying of tax materials. 10 pages may be printed at no charge. And a quick item of local FFA news. Olivia Porter was selected as the state FFA proficiency winner in sheep production. Porter is a member of the Clifton Central FFA chapter of the Illinois Association FFA. Illinois FFA recognizes students in 48 areas based on their work-based learning, also known as supervised agricultural experiences, according to information provided. FFA members who demonstrate outstanding agricultural skills and competencies through record-keeping, leadership, and scholastic achievement may be considered for this award. Porter was selected as the state winner by a committee of agriculture teachers, industry friends, parents, and volunteers knowledgeable in this work-based area, who reviewed their records online and then conducted interviews at Eisenhower High School in Decatur on March 23. She is the daughter of Eric and Misha Porter and Jared Finnegan from Ashcombe. Receiving this honor now makes Porter eligible to compete in the National FFA Award Selection Process in July 2024. This has been Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated March 28, 2024. I look forward to reading with you again next week.